Yeah, I'm sure you woke up and going, I have a funny feeling Robert Kraft is going to be in the news today.
First off, thank you so much for having me. Second, I mean, what a crazy story. Just nuts. I mean, nobody expects that headline of what's going on with him in Florida. And now, you know, we kind of wait on, you know, really what the NFL is going to do, you know, because you look at Kraft in terms of legally, you know, he's really facing two pretty simple misdemeanor charges. So legally, there's really not going to be a whole lot that he has to worry about. However, with the NFL, you know, one, owners, you know, are held to a higher standard in terms of, you know, the player, the conduct policy. And two, you know, which this is, you know, an uncomfortable situation and topic to talk about, there's human trafficking involved in this. And there could be a scenario to where this could get really bad for Robert Kraft very quickly. What we saw with Jerry Richardson, the Panthers owner, in terms of, you know, sexual harassment, he was forced to sell his team. And if you look at the Super Bowl every year, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, that's one of the biggest weekends of human trafficking in the United States. The whichever law enforcement, I think it might be, you know, Homeland Security, that has a seminar on it every single year. So, long story short, if this thing turns into that, I'm not saying Robert Kraft could lose the Patriots, but Robert Kraft could possibly lose the Patriots.
I was hearing some crazy talk earlier today. It's like, well, he's one of the owners. He is Roger Goodell's boss. You know, if he doesn't want any kind of punishment, he's not going to get any. And I'm thinking, did you wake up with your head in the sand? And this is the thing, too. And I understand how, especially for the New England Patriots haters that are out there, how easy it is to make light of this and make jokes. But with the points that you just brought up are the reasons why you just don't go there making jokes about something like this, especially with the human trafficking part of this. It's basically a modern day version of slavery going on. Because what happens is these folks get here and then their passports are taken away. They're basically held hostage and forced to give up their bodies until earning enough money to earn their freedom, per se.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, I understand, you know, to any listeners, this is an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's out there and it's real. And that's why this situation is so incredibly serious. This is not a joking matter at all. And especially from a league. You know, we just saw the NFL settle, you know, for $50 million or, you know, somewhere around that number with Colin Kaepernick. And I'm not saying it's the same situation. What I'm saying is that the NFL paid that money to get away from bad PR. Now you're looking at a very serious situation to where I've been at the Super Bowl the last 3 years. They have a seminar by Homeland Security or maybe FBI, I'm not sure, one of the two, to where this topic is discussed. I mean, this is a known thing that human trafficking goes on. So the NFL is certainly on board with law enforcement from a local, state, and federal perspective. So this is a very serious situation that's going on. You know, Robert Kraft, I'm not saying he had anything to do with that portion. However, once you start getting involved in these big topics, it could snowball pretty quickly, pretty fast. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, the guy's going to lose his team. However, the NFL, you know, you back them into a corner. They really don't have too many options because, these owners, the commissioner works for the owners. However, the owners are a group of people, and they care about the brand, the company, the money, but also – these are people too. You know, I'm not saying that they don't care about, you know, these poor human beings that are stuck in this awful situation. So, you know, we'll see. All we can do is just let it play out. I don't want to throw any crazy speculation, but you know, we'll watch intently, you know, to see how this goes.
He says he's innocent, but there's video not once of twice that's out there. So we'll see. But I've never heard a spokesperson, as I was talking about this on Twitter earlier, I've never heard a spokesperson for a famous person in situations like this where they all go, oh, yeah, my client did it, and now we're moving on, because they always say the same thing. My client is innocent of all charges. I mean, we're still getting the from the Empire actor who his representation talking about how what an injustice is that they're already finding him guilty and not due process and all this. And it's like, stop. Just stop. Maybe you might want to. I know you're doing your job and trying to, in his case, defend that situation. But still, maybe sometimes it's best to just to remain silent.
Yeah, I mean that's the tough part, you know, and especially, you know, look at the legal team that you know, obviously what he probably has on retainer, and probably higher. They're going to be pretty good. The guy's a billionaire, right?
But I go back to this, though. You know, yeah. Here's the thing. It's always it's not – if you just know history, and I talk about this on why I love history so much. I mean, forget about your favorite soap opera or your favorite nighttime series on one of the major networks. If you really want, you know, fun stuff, just know the history of our country. Because, you know, I go back to the fact that if Robert Kraft remembered history, he would remember the former Atlanta Falcons standout who, oh, by the way, the night before received the Athletes in Action Bart Starr Award, which is given annually to a player which best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home, in the community, on the field. And then what did he do? He got arrested for soliciting an undercover police officer, assuming that this person was a prostitute. And so this was 20 years ago. So if you just remember things like that, you might, especially if you're a billionaire, you might want to check yourself before making bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's the hard part, is that, you know, I mean, there's, you know, certainly a personal responsibility. You have to think larger than yourself, especially when, you know, one, you own a team, you're a spokesman for a team, you're the face of a team. I mean, you are everything on that team, right? And there's a lot more people involved than just you. So, you know, that there's a lot of people that just got drug into this that had nothing to do with it, right? So you're not only hurting the Patriots brand, you're hurting the NFL's brand. You're hurting the entire league, every single team. You know, no one won from this today. Like, it's a bad headline. It's a bad look. And that's just, you know, the solicitation part. Like, now, if, you know, which police, obviously, you know, they knew that there's some sort of trafficking situation here because they're about to issue 175 more arrest warrants. I mean, this is a big deal. And once you start bringing in, you know, brands as strong as the NFL, as strong as the Patriots, and every other team in the league, I mean, all bets are off. All bets are off. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying that, you know, he probably didn't know, you know, the extent of all of this. However, you left it open to be involved in all of this. So now you're going to be included in, as far as this, you know, investigation goes. It's a horrible look. It's a horrible look for everyone involved with that league.
You know, obviously, you anticipate if he is found indeed guilty, I think what the NFL will issue out punishment wise will far exceed whatever punishment he gets in the actual crime down in Florida, because in a case like this, if there's no known background for any other criminal activities, most likely he'll get a nice fine, he'll get probation. And here's the best part about this: I hope that they give him community service, but he has to serve it down there, and he has to do it in one of these things where it's not where you can do it behind the scenes where nobody notices. But I think the NFL is going to hit him, just like if you really want to punish players, take away playing time, I think that the NFL can hit him with where he has to stay away from the team, away from the games. I think that will be the toughest punishment at all for somebody like this, because this is his toy.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you know, look at it from a league perspective. Say you're Roger Goodell, okay? And you're looking at
Thank goodness I'm not, although I love his money. You know, other than that, thank goodness I'm not him. But all right, go ahead.
I'd love his Regions account. That checking account would be nice. but no, like, okay, so look at it from, you know, from an NFL perspective. All right. So first off, you know, in the conduct policy, you know, owners, high-level executives, management, coaches, they're held to a higher standard than players. However, they're held to, you know, the same set of bylaws and rules, right? So he's going to see a suspension. We're probably looking at, you know, probably six-game style suspension, and then that might be the minimum, you know, depending on how the law enforcement investigation goes. And if this thing goes south quick in terms of human trafficking, now you're in a brutal position. So you're looking at that, and, you know, how do you go about it if you're the league? So you're looking at it saying, okay, we've got Robert Kraft. The team had nothing to do with this. You know, this is a personal issue.
Right.
However, do you punish the team, right?
So I don't think so at all.
Exactly. Like, you know, do you give, you know, take away draft picks? He's going to get fined, clearly. He's going to be suspended. However, yeah, that's the hard part. So the league's now stuck in a really brutal spot and a very high profile because now, you know, it's the offseason. There's not really news going around. So it's just him, man, front and center. This is going to be pretty interesting because I think it's going to set somewhat of a precedent. And with the NFL, I mean, they're a wild card. You have no idea what they're going to issue in terms of punishment.
Well,
all we can do is just wait and see.
If there's indeed two cases we're talking about, so it's not just one instant, but if he is found guilty of two situations, two different times, then I could easily see six games for each one where we're talking about a 12-game suspension where he can't be anywhere near the building or the team or these football games for 12 contests.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. And honestly, you're probably right. And then if you're looking at 12 games, you know, it sends a stronger message if you just say, you know what, you're suspended for the year and you just can't come around, you can't be around. Now, you know, it's an owner, so, you know, how much are you really punishing the guy? He's certainly going to get hit with a very hefty fine. But again, you know, guy's got money. You know, he's probably not worried about $100,000 check. You know?
Remember this. Yeah. We're not talking about a recent billionaire who's in his 40s or early 50s. We're talking about somebody who's up there a little bit. So it's a lot different situation if you're suspending somebody for, say, 12 games and the guy, the owner's in his 40s, early 50s, compared to the age of Robert Kraft. And so because of that, there's not that many more games down the road for Robert Kraft to attend and go to. So this would be a significant punishment from the league. And you go, what's the best, a slap on the wrist? You know, the average fan thinking it from a Robert Kraft standpoint. I mean, nobody knows anything about Robert Kraft unless you really, really delve into his bio until we're talking about Robert Kraft now, owner of the Patriots. And so he's identified with that, just like when George Steinbrenner. Before George Steinbrenner bought the Yankees, did anybody care about George Steinbrenner? No, other than having to get pardoned by for, you know, illegal, what was it, contributions as far as campaign, you know, shenanigans going on behind the scenes. So from Robert Kraft's standpoint, I mean, like I said, the glory days are behind. There's not that many more ahead of him. And especially when you talk about a Patriots team that eventually they're going to be on the decline. Who knows? This could be their last great year as a combination with, you know, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, where they win another division. So the punishment, if you're talking about 12 games, could be significant, very significant.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, you're exactly right on that, you know, and you know, who knows? I mean, one, you're right in terms of age and in terms of, you know, every day counts. It matters a little bit more. So, you know, if he takes a punishment like that, and then, you know, take it as, you know, as far as it could go, right? Like, say the league mandates something of, you know, a change of ownership. Again, you know, I'm taking that worst case scenario, but then you look at it and you say, all right, well, his son is there, Jonathan Kraft, you know, now do you punish the family?
No.
Or do you punish him?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, it's tough. Like, there's just so many ways that this could go. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, certainly, but it's just, I think the NFL is going to see a precedent here. They're going to have to set a precedent because, and again, in terms of an owner who's really dealt with this, we've really never seen this before. So all we could do is just wait and see what the league does. But I guarantee you, I mean, it's a huge black mark on every single person that's involved in the league, whether you're a player, coach, owner, whatever. Everybody's got to deal with this. And, you know, now, does Belichick talk about this? Does Brady talk about this? You know, it's certainly going to be asked the first time, you know, that the draft comes around or OTAs or whatever. It's just a weird situation, and it's going to be tough just all around for everyone.
Well, and the other parts of this, too, he'll be 78 in June. So he'll be 78 years old. You go back to the fact that his late wife, I mean, they were married for 48 years. Myra Kraft passed away in 2011. You can also, if you're defending Robert Kraft about this, and if he is indeed guilty, you can talk about maybe he's dealing with the mental issues of losing his longtime wife. I mean, there's so many ways to approach this if it's indeed true, because there's a lot of things that we don't know. And look, I don't know what it's like. I've never walked in the shoes of somebody who's been, I know I've never been married for 48 years. I love my wife, but I don't think I will be able to live long enough to be able to say I've married to my wife for 48 years. I hope that's the case, but most likely it's not going to be because I don't think I have that many days ahead of me.
No, I mean, you're right, you know, and that's the hard part is that, you know, let's take take the law out of it, because we all know what the law is. However, you look at, you know, a person like that, so he, you know, he's been without his wife, and then you look at the actual crime, and you know, what's the statement that always gets made? It's the oldest profession in the world, right? And there's a lot of people that say, you know, what two, you know, consenting adults do behind, you know, closed doors, you know, whatever. However,
but they're not consenting in this case.
Exactly. That's the problem. If they're not consenting, and now we're looking at, you know, what you said is exactly right. You know, the new day version of basically slavery. I mean, there's just so many tentacles out of this that it could get very serious, very, very quickly. This could get bad. I mean, who knows? All we could do, you know, we could certainly speculate all day, but all we could do is just sit and wait and, you know, wait for more information, wait for the investigation, and then, you know, wait and see what the NFL does.
How strange is it, the fact that we're talking about this where, you know, what happened with Robert Kraft getting caught up in this prostitution ring, and the same day where there's going to be probably indictments for R. Kelly, the singing sensation. And so you think about both of these stories out there, it's certainly bringing to light more and more about, you know, sexual abuse, about human trafficking. And I think both of those individuals are going to be certainly the face of the weekend on these important issues.
Yep, they definitely are. And especially with people that are this high profile, this famous, everyone in America is going to tune in to at least one of them, maybe both of them. And, you know, law enforcement, you know, from all, you know, officers to judges to the system, you know, as a whole, they often use people like this, you know, to kind of set a precedent. So we'll see. All we can see is just sit and wait, because these are just two big stories. And again, we could speculate all day, but who knows, man? I mean, this is just, it's wild.
Yeah,
who would have thought we got this today?
The strangest thing is we live in a society where, and this is, once again, you know, you have to assume he's innocent until proven guilty. I get that. But I would have more respect for individuals. I mean, if there's video, what are you going to do? That's not me. But if there's indeed video of these situations with Robert Kraft, I'd have more respect for individuals when they find themselves in these positions. We are a very forgiven country. But what do we expect? What do we want? I don't care if you're the person working down the street in retail, or you're an owner of an NFL team. Just be honest and say, I am sorry. I made a major mistake. I know it's wrong. And, you know, certainly it's a very bad lapse of judgment. And I will, you know, spend the rest of my life making up for it. And because I certainly would certainly respect individuals who would take that route instead of all of a sudden saying, I'm innocent, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, until all the evidence comes out and there's a dress, and then you go, and then you have to admit your failures. See, I don't really care at that point. You know, when you apologize after the fact, it just kind of rings hollow in my eyes.
No, it does. And you know what? Think about, okay, you've been in NFL locker rooms, you know, your whole professional life. So understand this. Think about when you walk in there, these companies, these teams, you know, you see mantras on the wall, you know, leader of men, be the example. You know, there are so many of these, you know, just kind of mantras on every single team, and they preach it to players. So players get this beaten in their head. But what if you have an owner who, like you said, say he's guilty of both of them, but fights it the entire way, doesn't apologize, doesn't say anything. You know, again, I'm not saying that he's the moral compass of everyone in the league, but, you know, in an industry where that type of, you know, stand up for what's right, be a man, be elite, like, that throws another wrench into it. I mean, it's just so interesting.
But see,
so crazy about
this. You open up a different Pandora's box, because what do we always hear when a professional athlete gets arrested? You know, it's one of these things, well, why are they being judged differently than the rest of society? First of all, the rest of society is not making an average of $500,000 a year. That's the worst paid player on any NFL team, for example, $500,000 a year. So can you relate to that? Can I relate to that? Can Jay, can most of the listeners right now relate to that? No. And so before we start thinking about, and where, when these athletes get into trouble with their bad decisions, you know, the first things that they want to do is try to put themselves on our level and try to say, why are we being judged so unfairly compared to the rest of the country? Well, if you look at how many people are getting arrested that make $500,000 a year or more, usually it's the individuals that thinks they're entitled to make those kind of mistakes, thinks that the everyday rules that we have to live by by don't apply to them, Pac-Man Jones. I mean, you see where I'm going there. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, when you talk about, I mean, Alan, seriously, if you got arrested a multi, you know, 10 plus times, I mean, would we be talking right now?
No, we would not.
I mean, would you be doing what you're doing right now if 24/7 Sports knew that you had been arrested 10 plus times?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. No. That's where we just have to end the discussion, because it's like, stop trying to bring yourself down to my level from a standpoint when you think about economics and where we are, because I can't relate to somebody making $500,000 a year. And that's, once again, that is the worst paid player on an NFL team.
Yeah, it is. And think about this. And again, I'm going down another scenario. Think about if he's guilty of both of these, and you have a player in this draft in Nashville in April that, you know, say he's good and religious, right? And it matters to him. What if he gets drafted by the Patriots and says, you know what, NFL, I don't want to play for this team. This is what this team stands for. I don't want to be a part of this organization. I don't want my name associated with this. What would you say?
You are giving me 82 mile per hour fastballs right down the middle of the plate that's not breaking. Because what I would say to you, if I base my life on God and religion, what I'm going to say is I welcome that opportunity, because I would like to influence them in such a positive way. I look forward to that opportunity and making an impact on that team spiritually, also in the community, and giving back. So that's what I would, how I'd respond if I was in that position and drafted by the Patriots.
Boy, I really did just groove that fastball right down the pipe for you, did that?
So maybe Robert Kraft should be calling me, because I could certainly give him some better bullet points than what he's getting from his paid spokespeople.
Hey, just charge a high price, baby. You deserve it.
All right, let's talk about something other than Robert Kraft. How about that? Your most intriguing decision to be made by the teams out there, especially with the quote-unquote franchise tag and the direction that some of these teams may or may not have to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. Free agency is going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of big free agents. I think the biggest one, you know, might be what the Kansas City Chiefs do. All right,
good
so
point.
You look at it. Yeah, you're looking at Dee Ford, Justin Houston, and Eric Berry, three pretty big-name defensive players. You're bringing in a new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, who knows what he's doing. You're a really good team, all right? You're right there. But you've got to make a decision on these guys. So who do you re-sign, who do you try to franchise, and who do you cut? So are we looking at an Eric Berry gets released? Then let's say he does. So Eric Berry goes, well, what's his value? When he's on the field, he could certainly play. However, this poor guy's been through the worst luck ever. So does he go to a team that doesn't necessarily need him, like a Patriots, you know, like a Steelers, something like that? It's a big decision. I mean, they've got three big ones, you know, staring right in the face. And let's be honest, you know, you look at the Chiefs, the offense wasn't the problem. The defense, you know what I mean? Like, they just need to get a little bit better on defense, and then that's a Super Bowl team. So, you know, there's plenty of answers to this. Nobody's going to be wrong, but that's going to be mine.
Yeah, but if they get Dee Ford and they lose, say, Houston at the linebacker core and lose an Eric Berry, how does that mean they're getting better? Not unless they get lucky with the draft.
Good point. It's a good point. I mean, now, you know, you lose them, you're going to have to hit hard in the draft. You're going to have to get it right. And then you're going to have to allocate those draft picks to defense, you know. So it's just so interesting in a salary cap league to where when you get really good, which is where every team wants to be, it gets difficult. And that just, you know, kind of goes to show, you know, just how good Bill Belichick has been as a general manager and head coach of dealing with this year after year after year. It's tough, man. This is a hard league, and it gets more difficult the better that you get.